Robots Radio presents...
Welcome to Robots Thoughts, the place where we come together to explore the boundaries of my knowledge about my knowledge.
Hey there, friends. This is Robots with another episode of Robots Thoughts. Thanks for tuning in. This episode's going to be a little more serious than the Fallout Lorecast and Fallout, tabletop RPG episodes that came out more recently. Because I just got some news and had some conversations today with my parents. And about a week ago, my dad went in for, a checkup and discovered that, they did a prostate exam and had discovered that although he had no other symptoms, that the prostate was uncommonly hard, is a way of describing it, which is weird, but hey, it's, that happens. And so they did a biopsy in order to determine if there was any cancer going on. And today was the day where we got the results, and against the odds, it seems that he tested positive for cancer cells. So that means that they need to do a checkup next week to determine the extent of the cancer and if it's spread further in his body and that kind of thing. I don't know a whole lot about prostate cancer or cancer in general. I'm not a doctor, but I do know that that's probably not a good thing. So he's 65 years old and recently moved just a little while back, maybe a year ago, up to another part of the state to be closer to my brother and his family. And things have been kind of rough this last year. Things have, for my dad and what he's going through, he's had some medical issues and things, and went through having worked at a software manufacturer known as, they did software stuff. I don't know the extent of what they did. Software solutions and network things and stuff like that. And worked there for, probably almost 20 years, and was one of the partners in the business and the sales manager was his role, and had been a successful software salesperson for years. Had done a really good job when I was a kid and into my teens. He was covering a territory that was, very large, out on the road all the time, making sales and breaking sales records and those kinds of things. So he did very well with that. Ended up in this sales manager position where he became a partner in a business. And over the years, things had kind of changed, and he decided to part ways with them and took another opportunity to go back and work for a previous employer, only to be let go from some unforeseen circumstances. Something happened and he was let go from that position. And then there were some other strings of unfortunate other job hires, and then being let go, which is really strange because he had never been let go before. I don't know if it had something to do with his capabilities or his age, getting older. I'm sure that is something that can play into that. But as far as I understood, he was still very capable of getting his work done. So I don't think that was probably it. String of bad luck. Then they got hit with a hurricane, and my brother's family went through the brunt of that because the ceiling of their house was blown off. And my parents were lucky because they had moved into an apartment complex, and the apartment complex had, for the most part, weathered the storm very well, even though lots and lots of stuff around them in the cities that they are nearby was devastated. So that was pretty rough. They came and stayed with us and my family for a few weeks back in the fall, and we were able to help out my brother and his family, who went and stayed with his wife's parents for a while. and then helped out my parents, and then they were able to kind of get things back together. My brother and his family are fine. They survived the storm in a closet, and a neighbor had to come tell them it was okay to leave. So that was traumatic for all of them. So another string of rough stuff. And so they're all back up there. My brother and his family are fine. They're rebuilding a house, or building a new house. I think they're actually selling the property that the old house was on, and they're going to build a new property. And his job worked out fine, so he still has employment and that kind of thing. But my parents, since then, because of the financial struggles and because they didn't do such a good job saving up for the future, were in financial straits. And my dad ended up working with a partner, a guy he knew, to try to start up a new business and get that going. And they've had only moderate success, so that hasn't gone as well as they had hoped. So they started digging into retirement and Social Security and that kind of stuff, and things have been really tight for them. And now they've got this issue to deal with. So I guess there's a few things you think about when you go through this stuff, and part of it for me, I guess, is processing this in front of you guys, which I hope is okay. I mean, if you're not into kind of, you know, this kind of content, then I don't blame you. Go listen to something else. Go listen to one of the Fallout shows or something. But if you're interested in, you know, just kind of my thoughts on how to deal with this situation, then you are like right in the front of it, because I just found out all the bad news about the cancer. So I guess there's a few different things to think about. One, I'm not concerned as much for my dad as I am for my mom, I guess. I think my dad's the kind of guy who, if it's his time to go, he's resigned to that, and he'll troop it out. But I know my mom would be very devastated. That would be very tough for her. So I have a feeling she would have to come live with either us or my brother and his family. And I'm not sure my brother and his family would have room, or that she would be as comfortable living with them. So she might end up having to come live with us, we have room. Fortunately, we have an extra room that she could use, but, you know, that's a big life-changing thing. And emotionally, other than her having, you know, physically being taken care of, which we could do, I don't know that she would deal too well with that. They've been together for over 40 years, and have, yeah, I think 45 years. Was it 45 this year? I think. And you know, they have their funny little what are becoming old people arguments, where one of them doesn't hear the other as well as they wanted to, and then mistakes what they're going to say and stuff. But for the most part, they've been, you know, very loving parents, very committed, very together. And, you know, my mom tends to be a little bit more on the emotional worry side. She worries a lot. And I think my dad has always been kind of that, you know, like a stereotypical kind of, you know, like stays positive, can take a lot. Takes a lot of pressure to break them, that kind of thing. And they've been good in that way, where they kind of really balance each other out. You know, she softens him up and brings out some more of the emotions, and he's able to, you know, keep his feet on the ground and keep moving forward when things get tough. So I don't know how emotionally I'm handling it yet. I don't think it's really fully hit me. I also don't know how much I need to worry yet either. I mean, if this is something that can be contained and treated, then he could live for a number of years still. This could be something that either can be operated or goes into remission or whatever. So I guess I'm just kind of in a holding pattern, wondering what there is I can even do to help. I think financially this is going to be very difficult for them. So there's that side of it as well. What's interesting about this is that I can tell that my mom seeks words of hope and ways to handle her worries. Because she sent me, not because I know that this is how she is, but she also sent me a text where she copied and pasted in somebody's philosophy on the metaphysics of how to handle life and the situations. And basically there were like four rules, and I can't remember them all off the top of my head, but basically it all came down to this philosophy that everything happens for a reason. And when it's, you know, when it's your time, it's your time. And when things end, things end. And they just, basically, everything happens for a reason. You can only control so much, and anything that's out of your control was meant to happen anyway. So learn to accept it and move on, that kind of thing. But done in a much more flowery language, as if there's like an actual reason, like for terrible things that happen in your life. And in my shows, I like to present multiple different perspectives on things, because I truly believe that everybody needs to come to their own conclusions and figure out what's best for them in the way that they understand the world and the way that they find truth and inspiration and, you know, make it through every day. But I'll admit that my perspective continues to grow and change. So let's admit that much. But I'll also admit that the philosophy that everything happens for a reason appears to be very rationally flawed to me. Because, well, for a number of reasons. From a pure emotional standpoint, the intent is good. The intent of this idea that, hey, there's only so much you can control in your life. When bad things happen, or when good things happen, but especially when bad things happen, accept them for what they are, understand what you can affect, and if you can't affect a thing, learn to accept that as what it is, and move on. Tell yourself the truth about your situation. Learn to accept it, work through the emotions of it, and move forward. And I think that's a very beautiful thing. I think that's actually that rings true to me as the way that we should be handling our lives. The problem with that, with the idea that everything happens for a reason, is that that's not the only conclusion you can draw. If it would be better to say, I'm sorry for the things that are happening that are out of your control, I'm here for you, you know, that kind of thing. And learn to accept what the world gives you and do the best with what you have. And keep trying, keep moving forward, even when things are tough. Like, those seem like better lessons. And if you need emotional stability in that, then that shouldn't come from something like everything happens for a reason. It should come from, hey, there are people around you who love you and who are there for you. And if you don't have that, that's unfortunate. Like, it's not something that I can fix for a different person, unless I know them and I can care for them. But ultimately, like, make the decisions in your life that allow you to be around people who care, because that's where the emotional support comes from, not from some philosophy that you make up in the moment in order to just make yourself feel better. That's not where true comfort comes from. From a very rational perspective, the idea that everything happens for a reason appears very flawed to me, because that implies not only do bad things happen for a reason. So there's a few different paths here. It implies that bad things happen for a reason. It implies everything happens for a reason. Even the most terrible things, even slavery and abuse and child abuse and torture and the absolute worst things that we can think about as human beings, that human beings do to other human beings, it declares those things as somehow valid in our experience, as if they are okay because of the results that come from them. And that doesn't make any sense to me. I've struggled with this thought for a long time in religious circles. Some of you guys have listened to enough of my shows to know that I've studied religion and philosophy. In religious circles, this is called the problem of evil. This idea that if you have a God who is all loving, all caring, all powerful, then how do you justify evil in the world? And lots of different faiths and even different versions of Christianity, being that, you know, I live in the Western world, have come up with different ways of rectifying that, of trying to make that make sense. But ultimately, if you go all the way back to those three things, if there is a creator, controller of the universe who is all good, all powerful, and all knowing, then couldn't that creator have made a version of reality that didn't have all the pain in it? And this is often answered by things like, well, yeah, but then you would never learn anything. We use the pain to learn and grow, which can also be countered by, well, what about the people who don't? What about the children who grow up in terrible, terrible situations, who are abused, or have some, or maybe if it's not even human evil, maybe it's just natural evil, what is called natural evil, like disease or hurricanes or things that just happen that are beyond anybody's control. What about the poor child who grows up in part of a starving family somewhere, dies at the age of 4 of dysentery, has never known a day that they were not hungry or in pain? There's no lesson to be learned from that, especially for that child. There's a lesson for us that child should be helped, that we should constantly be working to create a society where we can give every human being the most chance they possibly can to have a life free from senseless pain and suffering. That should be a natural human right, to not have to go through senseless pain and suffering. But for that child, there's no lesson there. The child isn't going to live long enough to have a lesson. Then the argument goes to, well, in that case, it's not so much about the lesson, it's that the child will have lived a sad, terrible life in order to have an eternity in heaven. Like, that's the reward. But then why even live the life? It still doesn't make any sense. And you could even go extrapolate that even further from a conservative Christian point of view and say, what if that child grows up in this section of the world where they never come to know anything about Christianity, anything about Jesus or salvation? And some lines of Christianity would say, well, that child is damned to hell. So now you end up with a situation where a child is born into suffering and pain, dies before they're old enough to even have any understanding about where that comes from, and then burns in hell for all eternity. That doesn't make any sense. That would be like if I was a robot creator and I decided I was going to make a bunch of robots, and half of them work right and the other half don't, but they don't because I designed them that way. And then I get mad at those robots, the ones that don't work right. I throw them in the trash can and I light them on fire because I'm going to punish them for something I created. That doesn't make any sense. Now, if you have a different perspective on this and you feel justified in your perspective, I am not the be-all, end-all, most knowledgeable person about any of this stuff. I am somebody who has just spent a significant amount of time of my own life researching these things to the point where I feel generally secure in my knowledge, in my experience. If you have ways of justifying this to yourself and it makes sense to you, and you feel like that brings peace to your life and brings you hope and brings you the ability to get up in the morning and make the world better for somebody else, then that's great. Congratulations, you found it in a way that I didn't. That's wonderful. And, you know, that's great. We'll just leave it there. I haven't found that in any of those other perspectives, but maybe you have. So to kind of bring this back around, the perspective that everything happens for a reason justifies evil. And I don't like that. I'm not okay with justifying evil. I'm not okay with sweeping the bad things under the carpet so that I can hold on to my hope. I'm not okay with a privileged perspective of the world where because things have worked out generally better for me than the average person because I live in a Western society, because I have enough to eat, because I don't have to deal with chronic pain and suffering, because I wasn't raised as a slave, because I wasn't born with some sort of congenitive defect, that it's okay that other people are, that other people have to suffer those things. That feels like privileged belief. Like, well, it's not that, it can't be that bad. So there must be something to learn from it. Now, the flip side of this is that even if I don't believe in something like everything happens for a reason, doesn't mean that I can't believe that you can take everything that happens and learn from it. Those are not the same things. Everything happens for a reason implies that there is some sort of control. There is some sort of underlying thing happening in nature or from God or from existence itself that is guiding and directing the way things go. And I don't think that makes any sense. Because if that did make sense, then the thing that they've guided the world into doesn't justify the good. It just seems chaotic. And any good that's come of it seems to have been through the endeavors of people rather than nature. What I do ascribe to is that a lesson can be learned from every situation. I think that is very true. It doesn't mean that the situation was put there for you to learn a lesson. What it does mean is that when we will all go through difficulties, we will all have to struggle with things, we will all go through pleasure. And in every situation, there's something we can learn. There's a lesson there about what works and what doesn't. And in order to learn the most from these things that we end up going through our suffering, we need to be open to treating the world as it is, to not living in a belief system that sugarcoats things to just make them feel easier. We need to take the full brunt of the pain. We have to acknowledge that the pain is a thing. There's a so in something like meditation or I lost the words. One of the things to do when you are actively meditating and focusing on your own, understanding your own thoughts and your own feelings, is simply acknowledging the feelings that you currently have. It's like the first step in mindfulness meditation, that kind of stuff. And sometimes it takes a lot of focus. Sometimes we don't really know what we're feeling or why we're feeling it. We just know that we're feeling something. But it's hard to put our fingers on. It's hard to point to it and say, this is what I'm feeling and this is why. Oftentimes we justify that in retrospect, and I've mentioned this before. But to be able to just, like, and here's an example. Sometimes I don't feel great about things. Sometimes I can feel anxious or depressed or whatever. Today, I woke up feeling really pretty good. I was like, you know what? Today's a good day. As I was walking back from lunch to my office, I went down to the smoothie place and got a wrap for lunch. I was like, I'm going to have a wrap for lunch. It wasn't very filling. I'm still kind of hungry. But as I was walking back, I noticed this feeling of uncomfortableness or just kind of slight anxiety come over me, and I don't know what triggered it. It could be 100 million things. It could be a word I saw on the sign that reminded me of something subconsciously. I don't know. But what I did know is that I was feeling something and it felt out of place. And so I was able to myself in that moment audibly think in words to myself, I'm having this experience right now. I am having this feeling. I don't know where it comes from. I'm telling myself as much of the truth about the situation as I know is there. I'm having this feeling. I feel kind of anxious. I'm not sure why. As soon as you do that, it relieves a certain amount of your emotional stress about the feelings that you're having. As soon as you can admit to yourself what is going on, so you, as soon as you hang a candle on it and you become a little bit more objective about your own feelings, you can start to handle them. Until you acknowledge that they're there, they control you. Once you acknowledge that they're there, they still control you, but at least you can communicate with them. You can start a conversation. You can talk to yourself and say, why are you feeling this way? Aren't there other things you could be feeling right now? Do you not feel comfortable with the thing that's going to happen next? Are you thinking about this? And that allows you to process your feelings and actually get through them and make some sort of change. And by the time I walked all the way back to the office, I no longer felt that way. And it may have been because I was able to acknowledge that that feeling was there and process a little bit and decided to move on, because that's just what I was needed to do in the moment. I don't know. But I do know that that helps. So I don't know. I hope this has been helpful to you guys. I guess I'm still just processing the information of what's going on with my parents. So now you may wonder, how did I respond to my mom when she asked me what I thought about this? And I told her exactly what I thought. And I try to be honest with my mom too. I try to say, hey, this is what I think about this. And she knows that's how I am, otherwise she wouldn't have brought that up. And so she was looking for what my feelings and thoughts were on that. And I explained to her what my feelings and thoughts were. And then she responded and said something like, so this is just somebody trying to put words together to bring them hope and make them feel better. And, you know, like, isn't that okay? And I was like, yes, but it's a false hope. It's a false hope, and it can be used to manipulate people. Anything that you use that isn't true is not a firm foundation. Just because you believe something doesn't mean that it's the way the world is. And that seems obvious. It was, I think Tyrion Lannister quotes himself in a Game of Thrones, in the TV show, and I think it's in the books too, where when he says something like, something is no more likely to be true just because you believe it to be so, or just because you hope it is, or something like that. I think he's talking to Varys or something, and he says, a wise man once said, blah, 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 and Varys says, was that wise man yourself? And he's like, well, yes. But that's the thing, is that we often use the things that we want to be true to paint our expectations, and the way that we currently see the world tends to be more through the lens of what we hope and what we fear than what is actually there. But you can't manipulate a mirage. Just because you're projecting something up into the air doesn't mean that you can actually interact with it or move it or deal with it in any way. You're actually making things harder for yourself. This idea of false hope leading to some sort of, I don't know, your life being better or being able to get through a tough situation really hits me strange, because I feel like you're just lying to yourself, or somebody else is lying to you. And I just can't see the only situation that I can see that being good, that goodness coming from that, is in a situation where that is the only good that can be given. You're on your deathbed, or you're like a wounded soldier in the middle of a battlefield, and you're hallucinating. I'm sure this happens in a movie somewhere, and the soldier says, you know, like, Mom, is that you? Oh, I thought I'd never get to see you again, Mom. And then the nurse says, yeah, it's me. It's me. Everything's going to be all right. You know, because that's the only good that can come of that. The person is about to pass away. They're about to die. So in the last moments of their life, you give them comfort in the only way that's possible. That's the only good I can see from that. In a situation where your life goes on, living a life believing something that isn't true disables you. It allows you to be manipulated. It is not a good thing. I know this stuff is getting really, really dark and intense. I hope that that's okay, and I hope that you guys are okay with some of my views on that. I know from experience that a lot of, often when I voice these kinds of thoughts, which have taken me a very long time to come to on my own and integrate into my own life, there's usually pushback because, and this is another one of those things, I could do a whole episode on this. So let's use this analogy. If you're doing a multi-step mathematics problem, and the first step is add 2 + 2, and the answer is 4. And you don't realize that you're in the middle of a multi-step mathematics problem, and I do, and you look over on the last page of my thing, and you see that my answer is -7. But you only think there's that first question, you're going to go, that's dumb. He must have got it wrong. 2 + 2 = 4. You didn't turn the page yet to notice the next part of it where it says, take the answer from the first equation and now add 17. And then the next page where it says, now take the answer from that equation and divide it by 2. And so on and so forth until I got to -7. This happens all the time because we don't think more than one step ahead most of the time. Most people process what is right in front of them and they expect that to be the only step. And that is not how things work. That is not how things work, especially when we're dealing with complex issues. Oftentimes there's many steps you have to get through. Just like I was explaining with the debate about going back and forth on things. Oftentimes, and this happens in business, and this happens in life, this happens in philosophy, you have to ask the why question over and over and over again and have what is basically a debate with yourself or somebody else and go back and forth many, many, many times until you've whittled the thing down to the bare essentials of what it is. Then you can have the answer. And sometimes the answer is somewhere in the middle. Sometimes the answer is something completely different that you never would have thought about. But if you consider that answer to be the answer to the very first question, which is what often happens in these kinds of things when dealing with issues like this, where somebody says, well, no, your answer doesn't make any sense because it doesn't solve this problem. And my answer doesn't solve that problem. It solves the problem that comes up from 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 the first problem. And so it doesn't feel like it's the right answer. It looks like I'm an idiot. But really, you haven't thought all the way through the whole thing yet to realize that that's a smart thing. This is a problem. This is another thing that happens with, you see this in movies all the time, where like the scientist or the genius or somebody says something and everyone's like, what? That's crazy. That can't be the answer to the thing. And it's only because they've thought a few steps ahead. That's the only reason that they're the genius or the scientist in the situation or whatever. It's because they've thought multiple steps ahead and they are solving the next question and the next question and the next question and getting to an end result rather than just stopping at the first question and saying, well, this is going to solve all our problems. Hope that makes sense. Again, this is all just like on the fly while I'm driving and processing lots of different stuff. So I hope this is helpful to you guys. I hope you find inspiration in this, and that might come across weird too, because it seems like that's one of the other things that I find happens when you have these conversations is people go, well, if you're not going to look to religion or you're not going to look to there being a reason for everything, all of these things, then that destroys hope. No, that destroys your hope in that very first thing. It does not destroy hope. In fact, I think because it forces us to deal with the truth of the situation, which is that we ultimately do not have control over anything, and things most likely are not set up ahead of time to play out. And even if they were and terrible things happen, that's even worse. That should destroy your hope, because then you realize that terrible things can happen for a reason. That sounds worse. But if the truth of the matter is that things just happen and we have to learn from it, and we're 100% capable of doing that, and that in our human nature itself is the resilience to make it through whatever happens in our lives and to stand up and move forward, then that truly is hopeful, because that's the nature of things, because that's the truth. What do I know? I know bad crap happens. what else do I know? I know that that really sucks. Okay, what else do I know? I know that in times in my life when bad things have happened, the other thing that happens is that life just keeps going. I also know that at least in my history, I've managed to pick myself back up when things fall down. And I feel like I can probably do that again. That brings hope. That's where it actually comes from. It doesn't come from some projected image on the clouds, or some magical thing that you have no control over, or something that you cannot verify that you just hope is to be the truth. It comes from trusting in yourself and believing that you have the strength to get up and do it again. That's where it comes from. And you do. Everybody does. It's a basic human thing. And I'm going to level with you guys on this right here. This isn't something I have admitted to many people, and I'm going to do it publicly in front of all of you guys. On some of the previous episodes, I probably come across a little bit fortunate and, you know, humble bragging, even as one of the reviews said. But I know I can bring those things up because I know where my flaws are and I know the things I struggle with, including people who have similar mental gifts as I do often have the same or very similar problems as well, including things like chronic depression, anxiety, and migraines. And I suffer from all of those things. And it wasn't until about a year and a half ago that I was even able to admit that to myself in order to start getting treatment for it. That this entire time, my entire life so far, I've managed to do the things I do and pick myself up when I need to pick myself up, even when I was hindered by things in my own biology that would render me incapable at times. But I still know that I can still get up when I need to get up because I can make myself do it. It may not feel good, it may not want to, but I know I can. That's where hope comes from. It's from just understanding your own strength. I hope that's inspirational, and none of this, I'm not sharing any of this to gain sympathy. You know, you guys don't need to write and say, I'm sorry about your dad, or I'm sorry you suffer from these things. Like, I'm sharing it because I'm a human being with strengths and weaknesses. I have flaws and you know, good and bad, just like everybody else. And I want you guys to understand that's just, you know, that's just how it goes. That's who I am. Ultimately, everything kind of levels out, and we all have our problems, and we all have our blessings, I guess you could say, and that's where things go. So I'd like to hear your thoughts, though, if you've got some other thoughts, and if this is, especially if this has helped you understand, if any of the difficulties I've gone through and any of the searching that I've gone through is going to help you understand that there is hope and that you can do these things, that you are capable of picking yourself up when you need to. Because I really do think that's true. I really do think that there's this kernel inside humans, even in the midst of suffering something like depression, that we can still drive the bus. Ultimately, our hands are still on the steering wheel, even when it feels like they're not. They're still there. You can still push the gas pedal. It just takes building up choices and making good choices and moving forward. So that's kind of a common theme I've got going, but I hope that's helpful for you guys. And I guess that's it. So thanks for tuning in. If you are interested in any other shows on the network, Robots Radio is expanding. I'm actually in talks with two other shows to add to the network very soon, which I'm very excited about. And if you haven't checked out any of the other shows on the network, I would recommend going and listening to Out of the Vault show with Duke about Fallout. And if you're into Elder Scrolls, listen to Written in Uncertainty. And if you're into just video games in general and want to hear more about cool stories that happen in the games, go listen to the Hidden Pixels podcast and go check those out. And if you're into this show and you want to reach out to me, you can always send me a message. I believe I have robotsthoughts@gmail.com. I haven't thought about this email address in a while, but you can use that. You can always write me on Twitter on either of the Fallout Lorecast or Elder Scrolls Lorecast accounts. ESO Lorecast on Twitter. And if this show is inspirational, if it's helping you in any way, or if you just enjoy kind of my ramblings about, you know, making a Fallout RPG, then please share it with a friend. Share the show around. I'm not going to do a lot of the same kind of formal stuff I do on the other shows where I read out the reviews and stuff, but I have gotten a few reviews for these shows, and I do appreciate 5-star reviews and that kind of thing. But I would rather this show... I want this show to do well, but it's not the flagship show for most of what I'm doing. And heck, I'm riding in a car talking to myself with car noises. But for the most part, for those of you who have listened to my other shows and are interested in the things I want to say and that I have to say and my experiences that I can share, I hope this is a place where you can, I don't know, where I can connect with you in a way that is helpful from time to time, and also talk about some other weird stuff too. So that's it. All right, guys, thanks for hanging out and have a good rest of your week, and I will talk to you later. All right, see ya.
Robots Thoughts is brought to you by Robots Radio. If you'd like to get a hold of me and share your thoughts with me, write to me at robotsthoughts@gmail.com. Otherwise, you can interact with me on Twitter at robots_radio or at any of the other places where I do podcasts, places like Fallout Lorecast and the Elder Scrolls Lorecast and Sleepy Time Stories. I really appreciate you listening.
Hi, I'm Sebastian Azar, and I'm inviting you to the Hidden Pixels podcast, a show exploring those gaming stories you might have missed on your first playthrough, whether it's a side character's dark past or a small event that changed the entire fictional universe. We want to explore with gamers and story lovers alike. So join us every 2 weeks for the Hidden Pixels podcast. And if you like what you heard, subscribe and leave us a review. We appreciate all of your feedback, and we can't wait to share these stories with you. Thanks.